Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. If you're following along in your Bible, keep them open. We'll read a little bit of 28. You can watch the screen. I guess I think everybody does that anymore. I need one back there so I can. Acts 27 tells the story of Paul's final trip to Rome. He was a prisoner of the Roman government aboard a ship, and they were taking him to Rome. On the way, you know the story. On the way, the ship was at sea and encountered a fierce storm. And during that storm, God gave a message to Paul. And I want to look at that message this morning, but we'll put a little background before we get there. Paul had been arrested, essentially, for preaching the gospel. He had been detained by the Roman governor for 2 years, really without any formal charges having ever been brought against him. He had appealed to Caesar, and so finally he begins to make his way to Rome to Caesar. He'll be there for 2 years before there's a resolution. There's a little bit of a difference of opinion about what happened with Paul at the end of this Roman imprisonment, but it was 2 years before it ended. As I said, on the way to Rome, the ship encountered a storm. I want to read just a little bit out of Acts chapter 27. Starting in verse 18, and it says, "We being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Verse 18 tells us that they lightened the ship, they threw out anything that was non-essential. They did that hoping that the ship would ride the waves a little bit better. Verse 19 says that 3 days later they threw out the tackling of the ship. That would be the ropes and the pulleys and the cables and the blocks and those other things that were essential to the ship. But maybe the most telling verse is verse 20, and I want to read it again. And if you mark in your Bible, this is a good verse, I think, to mark. Says and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I've read this passage of scripture a lot of times. I'm sure you have too, and studied it. I've even preached on this passage before. I'd always focused on the storm, and I'm going to be honest with you, my message changed about 5 minutes ago. That's okay with me, but it makes me nervous. I'd always focused on the storm and the difficulties, and I realized today that it wasn't just the storm, it was the daily struggle against the storm. There's another part of this passage where it tells us, I think it was 14 days they'd been without food or water. They hadn't seen the sun or the stars for many days, the Bible says. And finally, they had struggled. They'd done all that they knew to do. They'd struggled as hard as they could struggle. And the Bible says all hope was lost. I've read that and I've always thought, well, Paul was different. Because Paul, in just a minute, is going to say, be of good cheer. But the Bible says that for those who had struggled against the storm, all hope was lost. You ever been there? I've been there. You do everything that you can, as often as you can, as well as you can. And it just seems like nothing works. Nothing gets better. There's no sun. There's no stars. The storms still rage. You even pray sometimes to God and you ask for help and deliverance or whatever it might be. And sometimes it seems like even the prayers aren't answered. And you just get to that point sometimes where you've struggled so long and so hard that all hope is lost, and you think it's going to be this way forever. When all hope was lost, God spoke to Paul. And I want to read what he said, Acts 27, verses 23 through 25. Paul is relating what God told him. And he said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given them thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." If you'd let me paraphrase that passage of Scripture just a little bit, Paul said, "Listen, help is on the way." Oh, it just feels good to say that, doesn't it? It feels good to hear that. Those men on board that ship, that was good news. It felt good to hear it. It felt good for Paul to say it. He said, "Listen, the angel of God, whom I serve, whom I belong to, the God that I belong to and the God that I serve, his angel spoke to me tonight and he told me help is on the way. So be of good cheer. Help is on the way." It is that message that help is on the way, and it is the however or howbeit or the but in that message that I want to focus on today. Verse 26 says, "Help was on the way, but howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." It wasn't what they expected. Help was on the way, but there was an objective to achieve. Or maybe because there was an objective to achieve, help was on the way. In verse 25, the angel spoke to Paul and said, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." Would you listen to this for just a minute? Listen, I understand struggle. Paul had been arrested and was in jail, in prison for 2 years. Now, you know, sometimes we read the Bible and we just read right over it and we think, oh, you know, he was in prison. Big deal. It was a big deal. Prisons they're not now nice places to be in. They were much less nice places to be in ancient times. And he was in prison for 2 years. No charges were filed. He couldn't even defend himself. There were no charges filed. He had hearings before the governors. He had hearings before his accusers, but they couldn't decide what to charge him with. So for 2 years, he's in prison. He appeals to Caesar and he gets on board a ship to go to Rome where Caesar is, and he encounters a storm. After the storm rages for 14 plus days and all hope is lost, they're stranded on an island. After they're stranded on an island, he gets bit by a snake. All of that so that Paul could go to Rome to witness to Caesar. That's what he said. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Don't you find that amazing? I find that amazing. Do you realize what God could have done to get Paul to Rome? He could have just wished him there. And instantly, Paul would have been from wherever he was in Rome. An audience with Caesar. God could do that. He could have put him aboard a luxury vessel and gave him a smooth trip to Rome. He could have brought a caravan of camels or a caravan of donkeys pulling carts or what. He could have made the trip much, much easier and much, much quicker. But God chose the imprisonment, and God chose the storm, and God chose the shipwreck, and God chose the serpent to get Paul to Rome to witness to Caesar. There was an objective to achieve. And in the midst of probably the worst moment in the last 2 years of Paul's life, God said, "Listen, Paul, help is on the way. You've still got work to do." Oh boy, sometimes I wish the work was done, don't you? But because the work isn't done, help is on the way to help us accomplish the work. Now, God's already sent help to everybody. You know that. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to save us from our sins so that we can We could be redeemed from sin and the condemnation of death for sin, and we could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Help has already come. And when we receive that help and receive Christ as our Savior, then we have an objective to achieve. Generally, every Christian's objective is to honor, to glorify, and obey God. I hope you're doing that. If you're not, get busy. That's part of the reason we're here. But in addition to that, every individual Christian has a specific objective to achieve. There were lots of preachers in New Testament time. There were lots of Christians in the early New Testament church. People were being saved every day, but it was Paul's job to go to Caesar. He had a specific objective given to him by God. So do you. So do I. You have specific gifts and talents that you've been given. Those are to be used to accomplish the objective that God has for you in His work and in His service. So the first thing we need to do is just get busy and get after it so that we can accomplish what God wants for us to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, these are the words that Paul spoke right toward the end of his life. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now, I want you to listen closely. Help is on the way for you so that you can fight the good fight, so that you can finish your course, so that you can keep the faith. That's why help comes. We think help comes to make us comfortable, to make us happy, to solve all of our problems. Help comes so that we can fight the fight and finish the course and keep the faith. There's an objective to achieve. The next thing I want us to notice is that help was on the way, but it didn't mean everything was going to be all right. Boy, this is where we get messed up. First, there was an obstacle to overcome. Verse 26, Paul says, he gives them the good news. "Listen, guys, an angel spoke to me, and I believe God. I belong to God. I serve God, and I believe God, and I know help is coming. Howbeit," that's we would say, "but we must be cast upon a certain island." Now, would you put yourself in the place of the men on board ship with Paul? They are not Christian men. They do not have faith in God. All hope was lost. They were sure they were going to die. And so Paul stands up, a prisoner stands up in their midst, and he starts spouting off this religious stuff, right? He says, "I don't want you to worry, everything's going to be all right." Well, listen, when you're desperate, when all hope is lost, you'll grab at any straw. So they grabbed at that straw. Help, he said, help is on the way. He said he believes this God that he's talking about, and he said help is on the way. And then Paul said, "but." And I imagine when he said "but," I bet their hearts just sank. Oh boy, here we go. Listen, when you've lost hope, you don't have the energy to believe anything. And when it comes with a howbeit, it makes it worse. No, I don't want a howbeit. I want my problem solved. I don't want a howbeit. I want comfort. I want ease. I don't want a howbeit. I want resolution. I don't want an obstacle. I don't even want an objective to achieve. I want rest. I want peace. I want no problems. When all hope is lost, that's what we want. Paul said, we must be cast upon an island. And those words, cast upon, means run aground. So he said, "Men, don't worry. Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. We're in the midst of this storm. We're going to be run aground." Well, does that sound like good news to you? It doesn't really sound like good news to me. But in verse 41, that's exactly what happened. The ship ran aground. The forepart stuck in the ground. The Bible says where two seas meet or where two rivers meet. And the back part of the ship was being tossed with the waves. It was being torn apart. So the only option was to abandon ship. They had to swim for shore. There's a storm raging. There's a storm strong enough to tear apart the ship, and those guys have to jump into that water and try to swim to shore. And the Bible says some of them couldn't swim. So they jumped in and they grabbed pieces of the ship as the wood was floating in the water. They grabbed some of those pieces, and I guess they paddle kicked or something to get, because the Bible says that they all made it to shore safe. alive, because God said they would all make it alive, but they had an obstacle to overcome. They had to abandon ship and swim to shore. Listen, have you ever noticed that when God sends help, it's not exactly what you had in mind? I'll just be honest with you, I've noticed that. I'm debating in my own mind right now, there's a debate going on, and it's been a hard, hard week. It's been a hard 2 months. Now, I hesitated to say that because I don't want you to ever feel like you can't come to me with your difficulties and your struggles and share with me and let me share with you and bear your burdens. That's my job and that's my privilege, and I love doing it. But I want to tell you, one day this week, I told God, I said, God, my bucket is full. My burden bucket is just absolutely full. I can't take one more thing. And my phone buzzed, and it was one more thing. And I thought, I've struggled and I've tried my best, and I've done all I can do. And I'm just telling you, Lord, I've about lost hope. And I got this message, and I began to think about all the people in our church that had shared their burdens and their problems with me, and I love them, and I'm glad they did, and I hope you'll keep doing that. And I thought, boy, they need to hear this message. And I began to look around this morning, and most of them aren't here, because they can't come because they're struggling against the storm. And God spoke to me, and He said, son, this message is for you. You need to hear this message. Help is on the way. There's an objective to achieve, but there are obstacles to overcome. Help's not going to be like what you think it is. We want help to come and make everything better. We want help to come and solve all of our problems. Sometimes help comes to make us stronger. And in order to become stronger, we have to overcome the obstacle. And we need God's help to overcome the obstacle. Sometimes those obstacles are of God's making. This storm, this shipwreck, in a minute, this serpent were all of God's making. It was God's plan. They were obstacles for Paul. They were obstacles for the men aboard the ship, but He gave strength to overcome. Sometimes the obstacles are of our own making. You remember David. We often go to David and talk about him and his sin with Bathsheba, how he committed adultery, and then he committed murder, essentially, and killed her husband. And that became a giant obstacle for David to overcome. But when he repented, God gave him the power and the strength to overcome that obstacle. Listen to me. If there's sin in your life this morning and you're facing an obstacle because of that sin, the first thing you need to do is repent. Now, when we repent, God sends help to overcome the obstacle. Sometimes the obstacles in our path are the result of the work of Satan. Listen, when you begin to serve the Lord, when you begin to really get serious about God and do the things that He wants you to do, Satan's going to do his best to stop you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, Paul says, wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan will throw obstacles in your way if you're serving the Lord, but that's okay. Fear not. Help is on the way. Paul made it to Thessalonica because God overcame the obstacle that Satan threw in his path, and he accomplished God's work. Help is on the way, but there are obstacles to overcome. So don't be discouraged. Keep struggling. And then finally we see that help was on the way and there was an opportunity to minister. I told you, the ship ran aground. Everybody abandoned ship. Everybody made it to shore safe and sound and well and alive, hungry and wet and tired and worn out, but living. They gathered around someplace to build a fire. Chapter 28 tells us they began to build a fire because they wanted to dry out because they were cold and wet. And Paul reached into a bundle of sticks, the Bible says, to stoke the fire, to put some fuel on the fire, and a venomous beast, the Bible calls it. What a wonderful word for a snake, a venomous beast. Bit him on the hand. The Bible says that he shook it off. I'd have died on the spot. I'm just telling you the truth. The venom wouldn't have killed me, but the heart attack would. He shook it off back into the fire, and the Bible says that the people of the island of Melita or Malta, whatever you want to call it, they watched him and they thought, oh, listen, this guy is a murderer. And the fates, or gods, as they would have believed, they will not allow him to escape his punishment. The storm was supposed to kill him. The shipwreck was supposed to kill him. But it didn't, and the fates won't allow him to escape. So they sent this venomous beast to kill him because they knew that in just a minute he would begin to swell and soon he would die from the venom of this snake. But it didn't happen. He survived. He didn't swell up. He didn't get sick. He didn't die. And so then the people of the island decided, well, he's not a murderer. He's a god himself. Now, we know that Paul would not allow them to think that he was a god, but it gave Paul the opportunity to minister. Look at chapter 28, verses 7 through 9. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him, ministering to Publius. By the way, when he healed him and gave him the gospel message. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. God sent help to Paul so that Paul could minister to the people on the island of Malta. He shipwrecked him so that he could minister. Not what I have in mind, not what you have in mind. To make a shipwreck so that we can minister. But listen, sometimes the difficulties of our own lives, the struggles of our own lives, the problems of all our own lives sometimes enable us to minister to other people that we couldn't have without the struggles. Without the shipwreck, Paul would have never been on the island of Malta and never healed those people and never told them the gospel of Jesus Christ. The storm, the imprisonment, the storm, the shipwreck, the snake, those were all opportunities to minister, and Paul took advantage of it. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I think Paul got discouraged. I think Paul lost hope. But he also took the opportunity, even in his hopelessness, to minister to those who were around him. Those jailers that tended to him heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those governors who presided over his hearings heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. His accusers heard the gospel. The men on board that ship heard the gospel. Where else were they going to go? Their captive audience. The people on Malta heard the gospel. When he finally made it to Rome, his jailers there heard the gospel. Caesar heard the gospel. It was a mess. It was a struggle for 4 years at least for all of Paul's ministry, really. But for these 4 years that we know about, it was a daily struggle. But people heard the gospel, and people were saved, and people were healed. Paul ministered because he had the opportunity to share the gospel. Listen, we are saved to serve. That should be the mantra of every Christian. Usually our mantra is we're saved to be made comfortable. We're saved to be made rich. We're saved to have plenty. We're saved to be happy. We're saved to be famous, whatever it might be, but we are saved to serve. And all of the circumstances of our lives, good or bad, by our estimation, all of the circumstances of our lives give us the opportunity to minister. So we need to minister. We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to help them. We need to work with them while we have the chance. Listen, life is short. John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Take every advantage of every opportunity that you have to minister, however it comes, whatever the circumstances are, take that opportunity to minister, because soon that opportunity will be gone. The night cometh when no man can work. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, if you would just come and play a song of invitation. Bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. If you can't stand, it's all right. You can remain seated. But I would like for you to be quiet and reverent just for a couple of moments. Christian, I just want to ask you, are you in a daily struggle? Don't worry. Try not to worry. Don't be afraid. There really is no reason to fear. Help is on the way. But when help comes, there'll be an objective to achieve. There'll probably be an obstacle to overcome. There will be an opportunity to minister. Don't miss it. Don't quit. Help is on the way. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You'd have to honestly say, I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior. You can be saved. Help has already been sent for you. He's waiting. He's calling. He's touching you right this moment with conviction of your sin so that He can help you, so that He can save you. Would you come this morning while Sheriff plays?